Hey, welcome to the B-Side. I'm Adam, and I'm with Steve, as always.
Yep, but you're not Adam, and I'm not Steve. But we are on the B-Side. I do appreciate it. I think you did a good job doing my job. Problem is, I don't think I could do your job on the B-Side. But
so,
I do know what
Steve,
we're talking about.
Here's the question.
What is the purpose and calling of an elder? Do you know where to go?
Do you want me to answer that?
Oh, no. I can start. I can start very simply by saying thank you, listener, for actually emailing in a question. And
so
as
what was the question?
What is the purpose and calling of an elder? I have a hunch, without even looking across the table at your Bible, that we're going to 1 Timothy 3.
That's a good place to go. It's a good place to go. Elders. Okay, so in a church, sometimes, okay, the way people probably think of it, or maybe would just going into church a little bit, just kind of seeing it, you know, who runs the church? Well, there's the pastors,
yeah,
and there's a senior pastor and some kind of helper pastors, and they run the church. And then you're like, well, what's up with the elders? Because they're never on stage or whatever, right? And you kind of view
it. Sort of are, but rarely. It's like the odd thing.
Elder means volunteer or something.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's kind of a...
Or old person.
Yeah, that's kind of a messed up... That's not really accurate. So what we got to do is like think about what is the Bible... Because what does the Bible actually teach about this?
Mm-hmm.
And then how does our practice kind of fit that?
How does it work?
So...
it all does work together.
It does work
together. We have that whole senior pastor thing. It doesn't mean that your pastor has to be old to be senior. And
I don't even use the title senior.
Yeah, even jumping on a bit of a soapbox, it doesn't mean your youth pastor is necessarily junior pastor either. So I love the...
Someday you'll be a real pastor.
Yeah, you're the youth pastor, right? So are you like a real pastor still? It's like...
No.
Thanks.
Yes.
Thanks so much.
Okay, so elders, essentially, in the New Testament, are those who lead the church. They're church leaders.
Mm-hmm.
One of the confusing things for us is we've got elders and pastors. And I'm going to argue that in the New Testament, they are the same thing. So we have separated what the New Testament has as one thing. So there's
B-side, we had terms that we thought were synonymous in judgment and condemnation.
Yeah.
And we separated them. This time we have
synonyms,
elders. Yeah. And elders and pastors are being recombined.
I would argue by looking at, you can look at a number of passages where these words get used, that the following words I'm about to say are all referring to the same thing. And because you see in 1 Peter 5, in Acts 20, and in 1 Timothy when you compare it to Titus, I'm going to argue that the following words are actually talking about the same thing, but slightly different nuance, but elder, which is a term borrowed from the Old Testament. Elders are sort of the leaders of the tribe. So that's generally an older person, but they're leaders, leaders of tribe. Overseer, which kind of emphasizes part of the task of an elder is to give oversight, exercise oversight. It's kind of rule, lead, it's part of their job. And shepherd, which is obviously taking a sheep metaphor, but the idea there is care, like a shepherd protects and cares for sheep.
Yeah.
And the Old Testament, the shepherd image is very, very common as well. But there in the Old Testament, it's related to the kings. A king is a shepherd. It's a kingly image. But that's, so these kind of get brought over. So elder, and what does the elder do? He oversees and shepherds. And then the word pastor is not actually a separate word. It is synonymous with shepherd. It's not clear in English. It's much clearer in Greek. A pastor, it's the same root word, pastoring, shepherding. Pastors are shepherds. So, and I'm saying all these things are the same thing. And I could kind of dig into how I get that, but it's because they get used interchangeably in certain texts. So the local church is led by elder shepherds,
pastors,
one group. And okay, so one of the key principles is that local church is led by a plurality of elder shepherds. So we never see a solo elder shepherd, pastor.
It's just a mistake.
No. So, for instance, Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas, traveling around, planting churches. And it says they appointed elders for them, the churches, in every church. Elders, plural, in every church, singular. So every single church has elders. Mm-hmm. Paul writes to Titus, who's leading or helping influence lead a bunch of churches in Crete. And he is to, commanded, Titus 1:5, appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Plural elders, single church. Town. So none of this like one guy. So your perception might be senior pastor runs the church. Yeah. Are you in charge of the church? But that's just not biblical. Yeah. It's a team of elders.
And it's just causing for trouble. The fact that we're all broken, just like the mantra, we're all broken. Yes. I'm broken, you're broken.
Yes.
If one of us was to lead the church, that's just a recipe for disaster.
Church needs to be led by a team of elders. Now, there's certain texts, though, that would say, hey, not all elders do the same thing or lead the same way. So the best place I often go to is 1 Timothy 5:17. It says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages. Okay, so elders who rule well should be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. So not all the elders are laboring in preaching and teaching. You've got this team of elders. Some of them labor, and that I'm reading that as vocational work.
Yep.
Laboring in the preaching and teaching ministry. Not all the elders are going to be called to labor in preaching and teaching. Those who do that well are worthy of double honor, and it's probably, and then the next passage talks about getting paid.
Yep.
So in this verse we see all elders have to have sound doctrine and be able to teach. Mm-hmm. Some of them are going to labor in preaching.
Yep.
Some of them are not. And some of them are going to be paid, and some of them are not. So we have a case to be made here for some elders are vocational elders. It's their career.
Yep.
Some are not. They are volunteers. But they're still equal elders. Some are, their focus is preaching. Others don't have that unique preaching gift, but are still elders. So that's sort of what we're seeing already, is a church has a team of elders, but that doesn't mean you have a team of preachers.
Just like the church itself and being one body of many parts, you think of the elders or the leadership of the church is one body of leaders, but many parts and roles within that.
Yeah, and there's different gifts among the team. Mm-hmm. So for us then, that's kind of how it is, that what's confusing is we have elders and pastors, but really I think I've argued many, many times, we should think of the pastors as elders. Now, what's throws in a new dynamic, the wrench in it, is we're also a nonprofit society, a charity in Canada. Yeah. And as a charity, we have a board. And I hate the term board for spiritual leadership because it's not a spiritual biblical term. But we have members and we have a board.
Mm-hmm.
And our elders, the people that are chosen, elected to be elders, are the directors of the charity, the board. And our pastors, like you, Adam, are not on the board.
Nope.
But the board of elders is not all that is to be said about being an elder. It's kind of one aspect.
Correct.
It's much bigger than that. And so we're going to get into what elders do.
You don't want me there taking minutes. I would be terrible at it.
So the pastors are elders, they just don't serve on the board.
Mm-hmm.
The volunteers who we have elected to help lead the church as elders, they are elders, obviously. I am an elder, and I serve on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got a board, a team of elders. Right now it's like 7 volunteers and one guy who's vocational, that's me. And we together lead the church.
Yeah.
We also have a couple more, you and Paul. Pastors who are vocational elders who just don't serve on the board, probably more just for like HR purposes.
Yeah, and however, at the same time, we're intentional to go up and beyond, and when it comes to the shepherding of the church, Paul and I get invited into those discussions.
Yes.
And we go, okay, the spiritual development, we are all elders and leading this.
Yes. Yeah.
The legalistic governmental side, you guys have fun.
Yeah, you guys aren't directors of the ministry and you're not on the board, but you're involved in baptism and membership conversations, vision conversations, and things like that that the elders have and invite you into. So there's a, who leads the church? Well, there's a team of eight elders right now who lead the church. I am one of them. But of that team, I'm one who labors in preaching and teaching, though that's a shared responsibility. I'm the one that they have said, hey, who's gifted uniquely in this? Oh, Steve. Now, that's maybe not chronologically how it happened, but that's kind of figuratively what's going on.
Yep.
And I'm going to labor in it full time. They've decided it's best that someone gives themselves to this 40 hours a week so we can have excellence in this because it's so important.
Correct.
You know, so there's certain denominations where they don't do that, or certain churches where their leadership or the preaching is done by volunteers as well. For instance, and it's not just like some really conservative groups in other places, it's our sister church in Germany, Hostes Hern in Mannheim, they don't have any staff members.
Yeah.
They're a church of a considerable size. It's not that they're tiny, you know, a couple hundred people probably, and yet their leadership team shares the preaching as volunteers. And even there's some advantages to that. There's some disadvantages to that. And
even the church I grew up in, it was shared weekly. Small church, you know, 30 people, just a bunch of families. And the elders of the church rotated. And and those men got up and they preached and taught on rotational Sundays.
Yeah. I think there's pros and cons to that. Yep. And anyway, so kind of the other part of the question, though, we could still address is what are the qualifies? Responsibilities?
I was going to say, what are the... Qualifications?
Yeah, qualifications.
Do that one first? How do you get to be an elder?
So biblical qualifications primarily are character. So, which is interesting because when we think of leadership, we often think of skills.
Yep.
And but the Bible, so 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, Paul lays out what are the qualifications. Timothy's part of Timothy's job. Paul sends Timothy. Timothy's his kind of delegate. Yep. So he's like a kind of a representative of the apostles, and he's supposed to help, and he's got, there's some serious leadership issues in 1 Timothy. We preached through this book just last year, so it might be familiar to everyone, but his job is to appoint new elders because there's been some leadership issues.
Yep.
And the focus is on character.
Yeah. Which is good, because I even had a friend of mine say, because a friend of his said to him, and said, you can only get by so long on skill before the true character and heart is actually revealed.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, this isn't a position you fake it till you make it. It's character will triumph.
Yeah. So, it talks about character, it talks about how you are as a husband, it talks about different character aspects. And the one skill or ability that's required in both those lists is he must be able to teach. Mm-hmm. Now, I read that not as must be a great preacher, but able to teach. It means if you're going to serve as an elder, you need to be able to communicate the gospel.
Yep.
You need to be able to field questions. Why? We're going to get to the responsibilities of elders in a sec, but part of them is discerning theological error, sharing the gospel, and recognizing errors to help safeguard so the church's sound
theology.
That
is shepherding and guiding, is safeguarding. Yeah. And so if someone comes up and is like, hey, I think this is where Jesus is leading us, and it's like, let's test this all together. And an elders board has that wisdom and knows where to turn, and is biblically sound, doctrinally sound, to go, I don't know, maybe let's talk about this
together. So in a local church elders, a primary responsibility that they have is theological. And they don't all have to be preachers, but they all have to be discerning. They all have to recognize and discern sound doctrine from false doctrine together and protect the church that way. So they have to be able to teach. It also talks about leading their family well, because if you can't shepherd well in those
in your home, you're responsible. How are you supposed to do it for a church?
If your home is totally mismanaged and you can't raise your kids and all these sort of things, in what sense could you possibly shepherd or lead God's family, right? And so things like that. So character is the big one, and teaching is the other, and then sort of track record with family and stuff like that. So then let's go to responsibilities.
Yeah.
And there's a few of them as you look at all these passages. So 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, 1 Peter 5, Acts 20. Those are the big ones. There's a couple smaller ones. But number one, teaching and guarding the gate theologically. They are to give instruction in sound doctrine. And so part of that is preaching. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you're the lead pastor, the primary preaching pastor. That's the job of an elder. The pulpit mm-hmm. is the responsibilities of the elders. And like in our situation, they've entrusted that to me. And they evaluate that. Yeah. And so correct false doctrine, teach well, be faithful, because the church was nourished by the sound teaching of the word.
Yeah.
Shepherding, that's the whole shepherding image, watching over, caring for yeah. the church. So we can talk about church discipline, caring. You know, part of that is, you know, James 5, you call yeah. the elders to pray for the sick.
We talk about that even when we talk to membership, sheep. How it's yeah. a twofold street. It's going, yeah. hey, I'm committing to this church, and I'm committing to wanting to be cared for and guided and shepherded. So when that this person, whoever it may be, is wandering off, we're yeah. going, hey, they wanted to be cared for. Let's go out and chase them down and yeah. care.
And that's kind of like Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. So there's this element of they have a responsibility to watch over you as those who will have to give an account. We talked about
yep.
Judgment yeah. last time. Elders are going to have to give an account, not only for themselves, but for those they watched over. Like, yep. I find that terrifying.
There's
like
just a little
there's
bit.
There's a holy fear there.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to take that seriously. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that'd be of no advantage to you. So mm-hmm. don't be a jerk to your leaders, because they have to give an account for you, and and let it be a joy to them to be the person who cares for them, cares for you. So shepherding, watching over, caring for, ruling. Mm-hmm. 1 Peter 5:2 says, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed. Here's the key part. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. So there's a overseeing, oversight, mm-hmm. ruling sort of. But it says, not now, when we hear ruling, leading.
And it's not harsh.
No, because that's like, the next verse.
Yeah.
Not domineering
yeah.
over those in your charge, but being examples. So Peter's saying like, one of the responsibilities of elders is overseeing, leading, ruling, exercising authority. But it's always never in a domineering yeah. power way. You know, 1 Timothy 5:17, we already read, rule well, these types of things. So there's this, and that I think that category fits, like, you have to lead the organization mm-hmm. and things like, so there's things like the board jobs, finances, yeah. and is the church healthy? Is it led well? Vision, direction, mm-hmm. is it organizationally healthy? HR, if you have staff, and, you know, we're part of a, you know, we're a charity, and kind yeah. of managing the leadership of the church well. So there's that aspect. And then finally, so you have like theology, preaching, yep. you had shepherding care, you have leadership of the organization, leading yep. the direction, vision, things like that. And then finally, just being a godly example, which is yep. that 1 Peter 5. Again, it said, you know, leaving them this example, being an example to the flock. And that's why all the focus on character, Christian living. Mm-hmm. So, focusing on the character requirements rather than skills or talents.
Yeah.
And elders are supposed to pay attention to themselves, their own lives. Keep a close watch on yourself, Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4. So the elders together lead the church. Now, many of them are behind the scenes, yeah. more behind the scenes yeah. leaders. Here, like I expect our elders to be leading or co-leading community groups, because
yep.
that's where a lot of this stuff, shepherding, that shepherding stuff happens. Sort of the ruling,
the road.
The ruling oversight part kind of yeah. happens more as we evaluate the ministry, yeah. we meet with ministry leaders, we manage budgets and staff and vision and direction. So that's sort of the oversight. The shepherding happens a lot. Like a lot of our elders are up there praying with people. They're mm-hmm. praying with people in their community groups, they're being an example, and then the preaching theology, right?
Communion on a Sunday. Yeah. Not to toot our own horn as a church, but I think our elders are heavily involved and not strictly even behind the scenes. So,
well, I think we work hard to help the elders realize that they're not a board mm-hmm. of directors. That now there are responsibilities. They are, but there's so much more than that. That's like one part of it. They're also shepherds that care for people. They're examples, and they have a responsibility for the theology and of the church as mm-hmm. well. And so it's more than that, right? It's all those things together. And so the local church is led by a plurality of elders, a team of elders, and I'm really thankful that it is.
Me too.
Because they have saved my bacon on a few occasions. Their wisdom and insight, correction, help, mm-hmm. And they've made me a better leader, and I'm thankful that for them. And since many of them are kind of behind the scenes kind of guys, because they have different gifts.
Yeah.
And that's great. Like, that's, I think, why you have a team, right? Teams are better than solos. Yep. And so I think God, in his infinite wisdom, has set a system that makes a lot of sense, that makes use of the gifts that he's given us and helps us to deal with the weaknesses that we all have. So, yeah, mm-hmm. that's kind of what an elder is.
Perfect. There we go. Purpose, elder, what is it, responsibilities, all that fun stuff wrapped up in the B-side. Few reminders. If you have a question, email us, bside@thchurch.ca. And the other thing is, pray for your elders and leaders. It's a great idea. See you next time on the B-side.